Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, June 15th, 2020. I'm joined by Alex Brown, my colleague at Clear Admit. Alex, how are things going?
Very good. Thank you, Graham.
So let's talk a little bit about just some basic updates. I wonder if you could kick us off with what's been going on the wires, because you know normally things are really sleepy at this time of year, but you were telling me before we jumped on air here that you've seen a lot of activity of late.
Yeah, I mean, we're still seeing quite a few sort of late round admissions, which obviously in previous seasons we didn't see this time of year, this time of the season, as well as some folks getting admitted off the wait list. So I'd say there's still quite a good level of activity ongoing. And I honestly think we're going to see this for the next several weeks. It's still very uncertain, right, Graham, how everything's going to pan out. Obviously, we know what Harvard's doing, and I think quite a few schools breathed a sigh of relief when they heard that Harvard was cutting the size of its class rather than going deep into its wait list. But nevertheless, there's still plenty of activity.
Yeah, and I think one other thing we're seeing is there's a lot of uncertainty even around how the admissions process works in these late rounds because, you know, this is new for the schools. You know, many of these schools are doing rolling admissions until like July, which, you know, these schools typically have just rounds, many of them. And so this is like new territory for schools and applicants alike. So I see lots of people discussing at clearadmit.com, like when should I hear back and what's the timeline? It seems like the schools don't have things quite as buttoned down as they might ordinarily for, you know, something that they've been doing year in and year out. So that's kind of interesting to see. And yeah, I think there's still a lot of uncertainty about where people are going to matriculate and what kind of, quote, melt people will see at schools in terms of applicants falling off. But for now, yeah, there's lots of activity and happy that our site can serve as a good platform for that. I did want to mention a couple of interesting things that happened over the last week. As we know, there's been a lot of unrest in the U.S. around the George Floyd murder, you know, by the police, and also just, you know, even around the world, there's been a lot of protests, and so we've been kind of monitoring what business school deans are saying. And so we did an article the other day that I recommend people check out that is just a nice kind of summary of, you know, what deans from Wharton, Booth, I think we've got Darden, HBS, Stanford, Yale SOM, and NYU Stern. They're all in there. You know, everyone's been weighing in, voicing, you know, support for, you know, racial justice and just better, you know, kind of better systems stateside and even beyond. So kind of an interesting article we did there. There's also an article we did on Wharton HQ, which is a new kind of software platform that Wharton experimented with their admitted students as a way to kind of onboard them and build community, given that there was no in-person admit weekend. And apparently it's been just off the charts successful in that candidates who've been accepted to Wharton are connecting really well. Their admissions director confided in me that it looks like they're oversubscribed at this point. They have a lot of people wanting to come. So they've somehow navigated this whole admit weekend thing, and emerged on the other side with a really great, you know, kind of solution. And you know, I think that's great to hear. I always love to see schools using technology in creative ways. Wharton's had kind of a long history of doing that. Some of that, thanks to you, Alex, when you were there doing kind of cool stuff with tech and blogs and discussion forums back in the day. So Wharton seems to be continuing to carry that torch. And yeah, the last news item was that the Columbia application is online and open now. So if you're applying for J-term or early decision, everything's online. So you can jump in and begin work on an application. We've done an essay topic analysis for Columbia, so that's out on our site. But yeah, stay tuned to our site for all that kind of stuff, you know, ETAs, essay topic analyses and deadlines and stuff. One last thing, the Admissions Academy is filling up. That's our kind of class that we're going to run over the summer.
Oh, good.
On Tuesdays every 2 weeks. The first one's June 23rd. Sign up and you know, get your spot because I think we're going to cap it. That's what they're telling me, that we kind of have to cap it. So in any event, sign up for that. And I did want to give a shout out to Alexandra Kelly, who not only has helped with the Admissions Academy, some of the marketing of that, but also she produces this podcast. And I feel like we never give a shout out to all the production work that goes in. So the reason this podcast sounds so great is all because of what Alex is doing there. And, you know, because of that, I'm just going to ask once again, we did get a new review over the last week or so. I'd love to see more reviews come in. So please keep those coming and rate the podcast if you can. Alex, this week you've picked out two Decision Wire and one Apply Wire entries, and there's some kind of some doozies in here, especially the Apply Wire one. So I want to get into it. Anything you've got before we kind of dive in?
No, let's jump in.
All right, so let's start with the Apply Wire candidate. So this is Wiretap's candidate number one. So this person is interested in applying to Columbia, Dartmouth, HBS, MIT, Kellogg, Booth, Wharton, and Yale. They would be starting in the fall of 2021. They've been working in consulting and want to get into private equity. GMAT score 770, GPA 3.6, 5 years of work experience. So you might say, well, what's the big deal about this person? Well, here's the doozy. They were admitted this year. So they've already applied this year. They got in to a non-Harvard, Stanford, Wharton M7 school. So that means, you know, probably Columbia, Booth, Kellogg, or MIT. And they also got into two top 15 programs. So they indicate they felt disappointed with the results this year, and they wanted to reapply next year rather than matriculating where they've gotten in. And they're kind of worried about this, though, because they like nothing's really changed in their profile. They're not even sure where they went wrong in their applications. And they also point out their GMAT score is going to expire. So in order to reapply, they got to retake the GMAT. And they know there might be more applications in the next cycle because of COVID-19. Just a little more background, they did attend a top 10 undergraduate university. They gave us a few to choose from to give you a sense. It's sort of a Columbia, Penn, UChicago, MIT type school. And they indicate they have a low GPA due to triple major. I guess that's that 3.6, which I don't think of as being low. but in any event, triple major, they said, dragged down the grades. And they've been working in consulting, and then now more recently the Fortune 100 company, doing growth strategy and product stuff. So, yeah, you dialogued with this candidate. But what's your take? Like, what do they do? Do they go to the M7 that admitted them? Do they reapply, given what that entails? Well, how do you look at this?
Yeah, I just don't get it, Graham. I think they need to go. If they're planning to get an MBA, if they're hedging a little bit because of the COVID-19 situation and basically the MBA may no longer be in their crosshairs, that may be understandable. But there's so much. I mean, basically what they're saying is, I got into an M7, but I'd rather go to Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, the top three out of that M7 than the school I got into. So it's like, well, fair enough. I can imagine quite a few people are currently in that situation, but they're going to the school that took them. By rolling the dice again, they're risking not getting into Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton. They're going to have to retake the GMAT. They're going to be delaying their plans by a year. I don't really see what the upside is here, Greg. Like, I've thought about this long and hard. Obviously, I've commented and so on and so forth on ApplyWire. But I'm like, you know, you really, if getting an MBA is definitely the right thing for them to do, I think they need to go this year and really look forward to a great experience. At, like you say, it's either going to be Chicago or Sloan or Kellogg or Columbia. I mean, they're fantastic programs. You could argue that, you know, getting in, they want to get into private equity. I understand that. And we do know that the very, very best will give you greater access to private equity than the best, and so on and so forth. So there is a reason why you might want to get into Harvard and Stanford, given your goals. But there is still a pathway to private equity at the school that they were admitted. It's just going to be, I imagine, a lot tougher. But they got to go this season, I think, Graham, don't you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the thing that puzzled me, and actually, you know, we can actually do a little sleuthing here. They said that they only got interviews at Booth and Kellogg out of the M7. So that means that's where their admits from. It's one of those two, right? So it sounds like they did not get an interview at Columbia, MIT, Harvard, Wharton, or Stanford, although maybe they didn't apply to Stanford. Yeah. So I think.
I mean, I could do some extra sleuthing, and I kind of know which school they got into,
right,
but I'm
but
not going to reveal
no,
that
yeah,
on right. the air because they didn't reveal it here.
Yeah.
But we know that Kellogg gives everybody an interview option except
right.
for an interview waiver, and clearly they took that option. So really, it is probably only Chicago that gave them an invite to interview.
Yeah, and that's what
in any event.
That's what jumped out at me, this point that, yeah, Kellogg interviews everyone, and of the M7, because they applied to some others and got interviews, but of the M7, the only school that offered them an interview was Chicago. And keep in mind, Chicago actually interviews a decent chunk of their pool. It's not like Stanford or Harvard where they do a small slice. So that is a red flag to me. And they kind of put forth the idea in their comments here that, oh, maybe it was the GPA. I'm not buying that. Like I mean, that's not saying that they're lying to us for me. I'm just saying that I think that their assessment or whoever they spoke with and gave them an assessment is wrong. Like, I don't think that this is GPA driven. When I see a 3.6 from a top 10 undergrad with a triple major coupled with a 770 on the GMAT,
yeah.
The academic piece for that candidate is, I put it to bed. Like, I don't need the academics is fine. What I'm suspicious of is, you know, more like, well, maybe the career goals didn't make sense, or, you know, is there something in the file? Like, I'd love to see like the essays or the rec letters. There's got to be something, because you don't not get interviews. I mean, this person should have had at least interviews at most of these schools. So something didn't add up. With all that said, I think it's moot, because I really think they probably need to take the offer they've got and go, because I'd hate for them to, you know, what if they retake the GMAT, fall flat a bit? Well, I mean, what if this year is going to be a real like crazy admission season because of COVID-19 and the number of applications? So my view is, you know, go to Chicago or Kellogg. You can get into private equity from those schools. It maybe isn't quite as easy as from Wharton or Harvard or something, but it's doable if you're motivated.
And also, it's not guaranteed Wharton and Harvard are going to get you into private equity.
No, and nor would they guarantee to admit this guy.
They're just going to give you a little bit of a better shot.
Yeah.
But it's not a given. If you go to Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, you'll get in private equity, and the option you've got, you won't. It's not that clear cut.
Yeah, agreed.
And I imagine this candidate knows this. It's just, it gives them a little bit more of an opportunity. I just think that little bit of an edge that it potentially gives them weighed against the risks just does not add up.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, I just think, obviously I get why this person wants to shoot for the stars, and I do admire that, you know, that aspect here. But I think given all the information I have in hand, I would take the offer and go for it. M7, no reason not to. And yeah, that'd be my advice here. So anything else on this one, or should we move on and talk about a couple of these crazy decision wire decisions that people are struggling with?
No, I mean, and I appreciate this person's contribution. They're a star contributor, Graham. 3 stars.
Nice.
Absolutely fantastic. So they've provided a lot of insights on the wires and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully they make a good decision here. And if they do decide to roll the dice and apply next season, I really hope they get into Harvard or Stanford or Wharton and it really works out. So
yeah, same.
I'm not saying it won't work out. I just think the risks are really, you know, you've got to be so risk tolerant to do that. And maybe that's a good thing, right?
And I would say apply round one. Make sure there's something to report on that's different this year round, and make sure that your GMAT score doesn't fall by much. You know, if it goes down to 750, no one's going to shed a tear, but keep it high and absolutely get somebody to read your file. Cause I don't think there's something that doesn't add up for me, at least. There's something that they need to do better at this time around if they're going to get interviews. So, all right, let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number 2. So this is a Decision Wire entry, and the person is undecided. They've been admitted to Cornell Johnson, Tuck at Dartmouth, Duke, and Darden at UVA. So, and they actually almost ran the table. They applied to that set of schools plus Yale, but did not get in to Yale. They'd be starting this fall. They want to do investment banking. They mentioned Capital One as a potential landing place, and GMAT score was 720, GPA 3.5. They're located in Pennsylvania, and they mentioned that, you know, they don't really have anything else to say. Like, they don't have costs. Like, the costs will basically be the same and they're going to go work in finance afterwards anyway, so they're not too focused on the cost. They say that they've been really going back and forth among Darden, Duke, and Dartmouth. So those are the three. They said they love all three, and they're curious which brand carries the most weight and what others would do if they were faced with this type of a choice. And they're worried about Fuqua's large class size. I don't know if that's in the context of like just the general learning environment in a bigger class, or if they're thinking about COVID-19 and social distancing. They're also saying, is Tuck too isolated, and is Darden maybe not as prestigious? So they have all these kind of nagging fears. What did you think of this? And there was some good conversation on the site too, but what was your take on this candidate?
Yeah, like our first featured person, they are also a star contributor on the site, so it's absolutely fantastic. And it's really quite interesting that, as this person readily admits, they've given a lot of advice to other folk in terms of, you know, where they should based on undecided posts, where they think they should go based on their goals and geography and so on and so forth. But now that faced with their own choices, they're reaching back out to the community, right, to get some additional advice. I thought that was pretty interesting. I honestly, Graham, if you look at these four options, I mean, apparently they've narrowed it down to three options. But if you look at all four, they want to do investment banking, New York or Boston. Maybe Boston or New York in terms of priority, or at least that's the order they placed it in. I think all four do provide a good pathway to investment banking into those cities. If we narrow it down to the three that they've decided to focus on, you've got Duke, Darden, and Tuck. I would argue that historically Tuck has had the bigger reputation over the years, and might be just in, you know, I'm not necessarily saying a tier above the other two, but if we could have half a tier, now I know we're getting a bit nuanced and so on and so forth, but quite a few would argue that maybe Tuck belongs with the sort of Tuck, Hass, Yale, or at least those. That's sort of where I place it in terms of the overall rankings, a little tier with Hass and Yale, slightly ahead of Duke and Darden. But, you know, at the end of the day, do you want to be in Hanover? Do you want to be in Charlottesville? Or, you know,
Durham.
I was going to say wherever Duke is, and I'm having a complete brain freeze. I did know that at some point in my career. I think geography and lifestyle and fit really has to play a huge influence here, Graham, because at the end of the day, they should be able to execute on their career plan.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's sort of a personal decision. With that said, I, like you, when I first saw this and when I read some of the comments here, which were very much saying, you know, oh, Tuck is, you know, kind of a little bit ahead of the others. I mean, there was a lot of comments around that. But the thing that jumped out at me is this person's like, I would love to be in Boston or New York. And so that, you know, suddenly I'm like, okay, well, you know, Tuck is obviously in your wheelhouse if you want to be in New England, and even Cornell a little bit, right? So I feel like if that's where they want to be, they might find that there's the largest concentration of alumni working, you know, in banking, from Tuck in those regions, right? Whereas, you know, Darden and Duke, they obviously have strong networks in New York as well, and maybe even slightly larger student bodies in the case of Fuqua. But I just feel like if you're thinking about brand power, Ivy League, you know, Tuck is probably just slightly, ahead here. With that said, you correctly point out, it's really different to live in Hanover than maybe in Durham, Chapel Hill area, right? It's a bit, you know, it's not as, the research triangle down in North Carolina is less isolated, I would say, than Hanover. And so it's a different experience, right? So I think they have to just make this decision about where they're going to be most comfortable. But I think for many, as you correctly point out, you know, at least historically, Tuck has been, you know, considered like sort of cusp M7. And, you know, I know that they've struggled a little bit in the rankings of late and stuff, but I feel like, yeah, personal decision. But if I had to put them in order, I'd probably push this person a little bit more towards Tuck.
Yeah, and it might be interesting, actually. We don't know what this person's long-term goal is. I mean, whether it's to stay in investment banking or to move on and do, you know, do some other finance related stuff or whatever it might be. And that might have some influence on the actual school choice too, in terms of the long term goal. But at the end of the day, they've got some great options here, I think, Graham. And whether it's Hanover or Durham or Charlottesville, if you're not averse to a little bit of a chillier fall and winter, and so forth, then yeah, Tuck's probably just got a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, and I will say, I didn't notice this when we went through this candidate and post for the podcast, but way down in the comments, because there were a lot of comments on this post, it says, you know, the person whose profile it is wrote, "Thanks for all the love, guys," because there were so many great comments, you know, helping him or her decide. And they said, "This would be a great one for the podcast." So there you go. We've done it. We'll see if we get into trouble with any of the schools because we're, you know, weighing in on this stuff. But yeah, it is interesting. And I think, again, a lot of this stuff comes down to fit. So we'll see. I'd love for this candidate to share where they end up going and why. That would be great if they could do that. So let's move on, though, and talk about Wiretap's candidate number 3. So this person is also undecided, and they've been admitted to 2 schools. One of them is Carnegie Mellon Tepper with a $20,000 scholarship, and the other is NYU Stern. They did apply to Cornell and Duke as well, but did not get into those 2. They're going to be starting school this fall, and they really want to work in tech. They'd love to go to Amazon or Google, Apple, Microsoft. And they took the GRE and got a 326. And they mentioned that they're working at a startup as a project manager currently, and they want to kind of solidify some of those project management skills through the MBA, and then, you know, use the MBA to kind of jump into a FANG or similar company after graduation. They indicate that they love New York City, but Pittsburgh is so much cheaper, and the scholarship is pretty nice, they say. They also mentioned that, you know, between, you know, scholarship, lower tuition, and the lower cost of living, they think they might save as much as like $70,000 by going to Tepper. And they're wondering if, you know, this is the economy right now where cash is king. And they indicate they know Stern is, quote, higher ranked, and it might open more doors in New York City. But they're wondering if the brand recognition is worth nearly $70,000. There were some comments on the site. What do you make of this? Because I think it's actually a really interesting debate.
Yeah, I mean, here's a classic case of you've got one school that many would argue is in a tier above another school, but the other school is offering some financial incentive to sort of, you know, as a bargain so that you choose the school in the slightly lower tier. So I think it's a good example of that. Carnegie Mellon obviously has a strong reputation in tech, so that helps on their side. I reckon this is a really good example of what sort of risk tolerance the candidate has. The upside of going to New York might be higher, for sure. Maybe there's some more opportunity, maybe some in semester internship stuff or various other things that you can do because you're in the big city, more closely located to some of these opportunities, but at the end of the day, you know, if Amazon, Apple, Google, Microsoft are recruiting at Tepper, and I've got to imagine they are, Graham. Maybe you know this better than me, but if they are recruiting at Tepper, I think Tepper's got to be a pretty good option here as well. So it really sort of boils down to the overall risk tolerance of the candidate. If Tepper can get you to that first job out of school, they might well be the right choice here.
Yeah, this is a really like fascinating choice because I think, like you say, on the surface, you've got the school that's higher ranked in NYU Stern, and then the school a little bit lower ranked with Tepper offering some money. I think there's another factor too, which is that, you know, historically Tepper has been known for really great tech placement. And I think the tech companies like it. My suspicion is that they kill two birds with one stone and do a lot of recruiting on campus with, you know, Carnegie Mellon engineering students, and then go over to the business school too and get managers and stuff. So I think the school has a really good reputation. So it's almost like, you know, sometimes you hear about someone who, I don't know, they've been admitted to a school that's really, you know, top tier, but then they also get into another school that's slightly lesser tier, but has a great reputation, maybe even one of the best reputations in a specific sector. And so a little bit of that's maybe happening here. Although I should mention, you know, NYU Stern has this great like 1 year tech MBA now. So they clearly have some specialization in that domain too.
Yeah.
And as you point out, a lot of access to companies that are in New York. Although, you know, I think a lot of the software and, you know, kind of engineering functions and product management may be happening out on the West Coast for a lot of these companies. So hard to say. I'm definitely not an expert in this, but it is interesting. I mean, I think the other thing to mention is that these are going to be two really different experiences. I mean, both are urban business schools, but you know, I mean, I like Pittsburgh, but it is not New York City in terms of the feel, right? I mean, it's definitely a more, you know, human scale, kind of manageable place to live, low cost, all that stuff. So it's probably a bit more like Philadelphia or something. You know, maybe it's obviously even cheaper, right?
Yeah, I think the cheapest sandwich I ever purchased for lunch throughout the whole of the United States was just outside of Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, yeah, this is a tough call. I mean, it's a personal thing. Like, this person needs to decide where they'd like to be for a couple of years. I do think that there'll be a substantial cost savings to living in Pittsburgh and, you know, taking the $20K scholarship, and that's not negligible. I also think, you know, they might find that, you know, Tepper has a closer knit, you know, student body or something. I don't know. I mean, they would need to dig deep and do this research. One of the things I find interesting about urban schools or schools in general that are not in destination cities is that they tend to, it's easy for them to build a kind of really close knit student body. So whether it's Hanover or Charlottesville or even Pittsburgh or even Philadelphia.
Yeah, Wharton was the same.
Yeah, because yeah. People are not from these places who show up to go right. to school.
And they're not planning to stay.
Not usually. Yeah. So, you know, so there's like yeah. everyone bands together and kind of discovers a new place. So there's something nice about that. But again, you know, obviously living in the Village in New York City, like hard to say no to that. And Stern, you know, we talked earlier about how there's this group of maybe Haas and Yale and Tuck. I think Stern's in that group too, and has been kind of very solidly making a move and, yeah. and distancing themselves maybe from some other schools out there. So, you know, it's a great school. They have this new tech focus as well. So this person's not going to go wrong, but I'm just saying I would understand whichever path they take. And this is why you can't base all your decisions on ranking alone.
Yeah.
It's really important to think all this through.
I would agree with you in terms of Stern being in that group, but I think it's in that group based off of its location, right?
So yeah.
We've talked about this on several occasions before. My question, though, is, and I know we're about to wrap up, is that location could actually backfire a little bit coming into this, for this entering class. I mean, you know, COVID-19, what's the experience going to be like at Stern at the beginning of the program, the first semester, and so on and so forth? You'd imagine going to Pittsburgh or some of these other schools.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a little less stressful at the beginning. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. And we have two entries that we discussed today that I think bring this to mind, right? The person said they were wondering about Duke's larger class sizes. And I don't know if they were just talking about that in general or with respect to, you know, the likelihood of in-person class. And I think the same, yeah, you can make that argument around, you know, what's the likelihood of Stern being in person in the fall? And what's it going to be like living in an urban, you know, really dense population versus Pittsburgh, which is, yeah, different.
And just getting your housing sorted out before you get there. I mean, how are you going to do that right now? So
yeah, tricky.
There's probably some logistical stuff that will ultimately impacts the class going into Stern when if you know with candidates that have other equivalent options.
Yeah, agreed. Well, anyway, great job. Like these were a lot of fun. These three that we discussed today. I feel like you know eventually we're gonna have to like make a greatest hits or something of you know the all time most interesting candidates that we've discussed yeah. or debated. But anyway, thanks for making these choices as always. We'll be back in 1 week's time with another episode of Wiretaps, and I will tease our audience a little bit. I'm trying to work out a scenario where we'll get some more guests on the show this year, candidates, but also I'm going to try to set up a whole bunch of admissions director Q&A. So we'll get some of the really, you know, the gatekeepers back on the podcast. We've had most of them over the course of the years, but I want to do a whole fresh, you know, just touch base with a lot of these people and hear what they're thinking about COVID-19 and this year's admissions process and more. So stay tuned and please continue to rate and review this podcast. So thanks so much, Alex.
Yeah, brilliant. Best of luck, everybody, and stay safe.